after a rough week 5. Kansas City, Pittsburgh. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
NFL Sunday Football. The Chiefs host the Steelers. Sunday at 2:45 and 107.5, 106.3 FM KGYM, presented by Mediacom. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Wednesday midweek edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. We're on 1600 AM, the main gym today is 107.5 and 106.3 FM. You are getting ready for first pitch from Wrigley as it'll be the Cubs and the Nationals game 4 of the National League Divisional Series. We got a doubleheader for you right after that. It will be out to Cleveland as it'll be Corey Kluber taking on CC Sabathia. Great pitching matchup. The deciding game 5 between the New York Yankees and the Cleveland Indians. So a lot of baseball to take in today, baseball to talk about. Everyone talking about the big upset, and I don't mean Iowa State, Oklahoma, although we are going to talk about that with Paul Clark of CycloneReport.com, but the soccer fans are not a happy bunch today around our great country here today. We'll kick that around and some basketball news and the Iowa coordinators. They met the media today. All that coming up on the Gym Class on KGYM. Also, Bowling Night in America preview of a huge night of bowling coming up. Welcome in, Gym Class. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you here in KGYM. And again, we're on 1600 AM to start things off here this afternoon. They will play baseball, although it's a raw, windy day in Chicago, just like it is right here in good old Eastern Iowa. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Kyle Mann, our producer, who's had a busy day today. He's in working with some audio right now from Brian Ferentz and Phil Parker as they met the media today in Iowa City. The usual MO, Mark, as far as the off week, the bye week for the Iowa football program is concerned. They always trot out the two coordinators for the media to interview today.
Yeah, I noticed Phil Parker, defensive coordinator, talked about his defense and the fact that it probably was better than statistically advertised. And maybe not. I don't know. But there has been some hand-wringing over the Iowa defense, and Phil Parker putting a perspective on that today. And Brian Ferentz talking about Nate Stanley and his efficiency.
And Nick Easley a lot, too.
Nick Easley and James Butler, who's been injured. Not any timetable for his return. Perhaps could get a medical red shirt there. He was injured in the second game, is that right?
That is believed correct, yeah.
And may see more of the backup running backs, Torin Young and Ivory Kelly Martin.
Just some of the tidbits that came out of Iowa City today. And again, it was your usual coordinator day. Nothing, you know, nothing earth-shattering coming out of there as both Phil Parker and offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz meeting with the media here today. Of course, what everyone is talking about, not only Major League Baseball, they will play in Chicago. There is a mist, a fog. It's only 59 degrees, and the wind is blowing in. So one run is going to be very important today in that particular game. I believe our poll question from Emil's Hideaway has to do with game number 2 tonight. Is that correct?
It has with game number 5 tonight,
well,
actually.
Yeah, the second game, I should say.
KGYM, our second game on KGYM. Go to the website, KGYMradio.com, and access this poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. Which team will win tonight's deciding game 5 of the American League Division Series? You like New York?
American League
National Division Series, yes. Yeah. Like New York or Cleveland? Go to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. I think that's a real tough question. CC Sabathia with a lot of experience.
Big game pitcher.
Corey Kluber has not been as much. Game 7 in the World Series last year. Game 2 in this series. Not a good outing. But he's likely what American League Cy Young Award winner, right?
I would give my vote, well, him or Sale.
Yeah.
It's going to be very close. And I believe the votes had to be in before the postseason began.
I think it's going to be a great game.
I think it will be as well. Cleveland, Boston has already pulled the trigger. John Farrell is out after 5 years as a manager of the Red Sox. High expectations this year, especially after making the big trade to bring in Chris Sale. That apparently was going to be the last piece of the puzzle and did not work that way.
Are they
going to
get
out.
Any better?
I don't know. I don't
Gary
know.
Gary DeSarcina?
They should have never gotten rid of Tito Francona is what they should have never done in Boston. It was a mutual parting of the ways. But, again, it's like college football. LSU getting rid of Les Miles. What are you going to do?
Brad Ausmus is not the answer,
is he? Who's
going to
be better? I don't think so.
I'd like Brad Ausmus.
But he lost control of his team this year.
Yeah, I
don't think it was. John Farrell's taking the fall on this one. That's my opinion. I agree with you 100%. What do you think out there? Hertina Stocker Jewelers text line available at 319-366-1600. And we haven't even gotten into soccer yet. Goodness gracious me, oh my. The United States men's national team is not going to be in the World Cup. Coming up for the first time in 28 years, the Americans will be missing. Now, granted, I believe I heard this morning where the Americans are only number 28 in the world. I didn't know, first of all, there was a world soccer poll. So I learned something today. And the Americans are 28th right now and sure to fall because the loss to Trinidad and Tobago and combined with a couple of other results, the Mexican national team also lost, I believe, and all that added up to the fact that the Americans are going to be sitting home. And what was, a pretty neat spectacle, and I'm not going to even say I'm the world's biggest soccer fan out there, but the last World Cup, I watched it. I watched the Americans play, and I thought it was good entertainment. Two-hour games. I give you that. 2 hours.
Right around there.
Ties included, but it's 2 hours. And everyone talking about, does American soccer take a step back today? And I know we have a lot of soccer people out there, and I'd like to hear from them today.
Well, personally, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
I'm not either, but there are people that are losing their minds because of this.
I appreciate soccer, but it's not one of my favorite things to watch or follow. And some folks are talking about this being the biggest disaster for soccer in United States history.
It might be. Based on all the progress that the Americans have made.
For 40 years, I've been hearing that soccer is the fastest growing sport in the United States. And you can't trot out a team that is not fatigued, motivated to beat Trinidad and Tobago, or at least tie it.
Just what they had
to move
do.
On. Yeah.
And didn't
That's
get it done.
That's pretty embarrassing.
I would say so, especially based on the fact that how far youth soccer has come and everything. And there's so many theories out there to why the best athletes are still playing basketball, the best athletes are still playing football, even though the numbers have gone down. I think there's about three or four different reasons out there why, soccer has taken off as far as numbers are concerned, but there was interest. I was listening to a national pundit today who said, you know what, the reason I put my kids into soccer was to tire them out. They run around out there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying that's everyone's reason. Of course not. But I don't know. I want to know out there. If you're a big soccer fanatic, let us know what you think. Is this going to push soccer back into the dark ages here in America? 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment.
To me, I don't think it's a priority for America. You know, you might have the national teams telling you differently, but I don't think this country is as passionate about soccer at that elite level as a Brazil.
Of course not.
Or Germany.
The Netherlands. I mean, that is the number one sport. That is the sport of choice. Over there. In Brazil, it's auto racing and soccer. That's basically what they do. There is nothing else going on. There's not the NBA down there. They do have professional basketball. I understand that. But it's not the caliber of the National Basketball Association, not nearly the caliber of the NBA.
1302 on the Hertin and Stocker text line. Appreciate your involvement. I've become a huge U.S. soccer fan over the last 30 years. I never miss a match on TV. It was a hugely embarrassing qualification run. Twellman was spot on with his criticism and reasons he gave. David at Hudson, maybe the best athlete, still play those other sports because those sports are actually fun.
I'm not going to say the soccer's not. I mean, it's, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Is that the best thing you can say about it? I mean, it's not my cup of tea. It's not your cup of tea. But I'm not going to say that it's, you know, we should ignore it or anything like that. You're going to bring Kyle in.
Well, Kyle's younger. And I think Kyle played soccer one time or at least follows it.
Oh, many years ago.
Many moons.
Yes, many moons.
What's up with this?
Is this big? Is this huge?
I've been hearing a lot of discussion kind of about like is it big? Does the younger generation care? And I'm not sure why that's such a big talking point, but to answer the question, no, not really, because, you know, why would you? The team is not good, and they're hitting rock bottom right now, apparently. So I don't know why they're, you know, there's not a lot of pride as it is, and it's definitely not getting any better now. And I guess, honestly, my only hope is that maybe now that they're getting, you know, you've had Lawless talk out, you've had Taylor Twellman talk out, Bob Lee roasted them last night, maybe this will be the wake-up call that they need, which is what all those guys are saying and calling for. So maybe this is the jumping-off point to where they finally start to build that program a little more.
Your generation was the one that was congregating in city squares, city parks, you know, by the thousands, and watching the World Cup the last time it was here. Yeah. And not going to be able to experience that this time unless they're rooting for the Brazilians or the Dutch or whatever the case may be.
It's a fun sport, and the World Cup is such a fun event. People, if the team was any good, they would jump at the opportunity to be excited about the soccer team, but it just hasn't been there.
Isn't the women the U.S. national team now?
Is what?
The women's team.
They're better. I like them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guarantee, you talk about the youth in America, I guarantee if I call my grandson, who's a freshman in high school, you know, how did his day go? He's going to be more worried about how they play against Cedar Falls this Saturday.
Yeah.
And a few other things. He won't even. Soccer is way down the list.
It doesn't. Nobody's really, you know, you don't have the emotional, you know, kind of reaction from, you know, the disaster that happened last night. The emotion's not there because nobody's previously invested for the most part. But kind of like I said, if you know, they want to be, they would love if the team was good and gave them something to root for.
No, I posted a Twitter Twitter comment out there earlier today, and Jake responded. He follows soccer quite a bit. He said they had, you know, plenty of great athletes out there, some of the greatest players the U.S. has ever produced. He said there's a mixture of fatigue and apathy. I mean, to me, that's like Kirk Ferentz, his team not getting up for North Texas and losing 27-12.
Mm-hmm. The
getting that 2-0 is a big deal, and that's what the U.S. did.
Yeah, the talent pool is definitely different, and you should expect more from America. But kind of the more you think about it, soccer is just such a cultural thing, and you know, all over the world, it's just different here. You know, the best athletes nowadays, I think a lot of kids start up in baseball. As soon as you're old enough to play, you go play football and basketball. Whereas in other countries, kids grow up, and as soon as they can walk and run, they're kicking around a ball. It's just...
Absolutely.
I don't know if America can ever get to that point just because it's not...
There are too many other sports.
Yeah, soccer, it's just not in our blood here the way it is in so many other places.
Good point.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate 1302
on the text line. We don't need to be as passionate on that level. Brazil has produced great basketball players. Argentina has produced great basketball players. So that argument doesn't hold.
Yeah, but not nearly. Come on. Yes, you're right. They have, but you can count them probably on one, if not, well, two for sure, and one hand, perhaps.
Well, we produce Landon Donovan and Lawless, okay? So we produce some soccer players from time to time. Not to the magnitude of Messi and others.
Not those guys. The one name people out there. 318, before we get to break here and call up Paul Clark, wanted to mention this as well. The NCAA has weighed in on the men's college basketball situation. They're going to put together yet another commission, Mark. This is going to be called the College Basketball Commission. This is like, calling the Cowboys after the herd has left the yard. Going to be headed up by Condoleezza Rice. One of the members is Gene Smith, the former Iowa State Athletic Director, now the Ohio State Athletic Director. You recognize all these names?
I do.
Kind of names that have been on all the other committees that the NCAA has put together over the years. And they're gonna step in now and see what the NCAA can do after the feds have stoked the fire a little bit right now. Way to go, Mark Emmert.
Wonderful.
Not the one at the register, but the other one. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and Paul Clark is going to join us. We're going to relive Iowa State and Oklahoma and talk about Iowa State and Kansas, talk a little men's basketball, which is right around the corner. In fact, the Cyclones had Women's Basketball Media Day yesterday for Bill Fenley over Ames. And by the way, congratulations to the Fenley family as Lindsay Fenley, Billy Fenley's wife, former Lindsay Metters, I do believe, had a brand new baby yesterday. And congratulations to the whole Fenley extended family out there. We'll talk about that and more coming up after this. You're listening to The Gym Class, 1600 AM, KGYM.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Play the greens and save some green now at St. Andrews Golf Club. Monday through Friday before 1 and after 5, ride 18 holes for $23. Bring your juniors with you because kids 12 and under play free anytime Monday through Friday. And on weekday evenings, take in a relaxing 18 holes with a cart for just $23 too. Only at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blair's Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. All items subject to sales tax, special prices for walk-ins only, not scheduled outings.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
At KGYM Radio on Twitter, Dukes and Unash, The Gym Class on KGYM.
322, back with you here on The Gym Class, KGYM, 1600 AM today as the FMs with Game 4 between the Nationals and the Cubs on, and they're in the bottom of the first inning right now. Nats hit two hard balls. One of them probably 2 days ago would have been out, but not even to the warning track today as the wind is blowing in a gale and 59 degrees and light rain. It doesn't look like fun in Chicago today.
No.
It just does not look like fun out there. We'll keep you updated on that. Cleveland and the Yankees coming up tonight, game 5:40. That'll be at 7 o'clock on all three of our frequencies. coming your way tonight right here on KGYM. Of course, coming up on Saturday, Cyclone Football, Iowa State hosting the Kansas Jayhawks. And we'll have it at 9 o'clock for you with John Walters and Eric Heft with the call. And just past 11 with the kickoff. And one of the folks that will be there in attendance at Jack Trice Stadium ready to join us. And that is Paul Clark from CycloneReport.com. Follow him at Cyclone Report on Twitter. Or just go to the Cyclone Report website. And, Paul, good afternoon. How are you doing? I would imagine Ames is still on a high right now.
It's still hopping, let me tell you. So, now, 24-hour rule, you know, the coaches and the players have a 24-hour rule, so I suppose the fans, we can give them maybe 48 or 72, but it's time to put that one to bed and get focused on this Saturday.
Paul, we had a poll question on Monday asking folks whether this is the biggest win in Iowa State football history, and John Walters weighed in on the Todd Brommelkamp show yesterday. Your thoughts?
I think that's to be determined, because I think it depends on what happens next. You know, Iowa State beat number 7 or whatever it was, Nebraska, back in 1992, the Marv Seiler game, but it didn't lead to anything else. That was just one fantastic kind of fluky Saturday, and it wasn't. It didn't lead to anything else. And so I think that's a big part of, I guess for me anyway. Now, I guess it's totally subjective and everybody can look at it differently, but to me, I think a big part of it is what does it lead to? What comes next? Does it turn out to just be one fabulous, fluky Saturday? Or is it something that Iowa State uses as a real foundational block to build on, to do something more? Do you come out this week and really stick it to Kansas and win convincingly? Do you come back then the week after that, next Saturday, and get a big win at Texas Tech? So, to me, it's to be determined. I think we look back at the end of the season, maybe, and say, what did Iowa State do with that Oklahoma win over the next 7 Saturdays? And then I'd be able to say, well, yeah, that was a huge win, or, yeah, you know, that was just a great afternoon.
You took the words right out of my mouth, Paul, and I basically said the same thing, because I think this is, if not the biggest, it's one of the biggest, because of the fact that Matt Campbell, what he's trying to build right now and the culture that he's trying to build and coming in and making recruits excited, making his team excited, getting people excited, using social media, using all of the things at his disposal. And now to get that win against the number 3 team in the country, a team that went into Columbus and just, you know, destroyed Ohio State, basically. Timing couldn't have been any better.
Well, yeah, no question about that. I mean, I think, you know, within the Cyclone camp and certainly the Cyclone fan base, I think Iowa State people feel like, you know, that Iowa game was right there. That obviously came down to who made one more play than the other. And then the Texas game was a little bit of a stinker offensively, but the defense certainly played well enough to win. So I think Iowa Staters look back at those two games as missed opportunities. And then you think, geez, now we got to go to Oklahoma and take our lumps and then come back and try to get back to 500 against Kansas. Well, now, of course, the storyline changes. You're 3-2 as it is. You got back one of those wins that maybe you thought got away from you earlier. You have a chance to beat Kansas and get to 4-2 this week. And then you really head into the second half of the season, hopefully, with a lot of confidence and a lot of momentum. So, yeah, I think it all depends on what it leads to. And certainly, I think if you're an Iowa State player, coach, whatever, you have to be saying to yourself, hey, if we can win at Oklahoma, there are no games left on our schedule that we can't win. And I certainly hope and I'm pretty confident that's the mindset now for the Cyclones.
Jacob Park not on that trip, opening the door for Kyle Kemp to have a most historical day for him and for the team. Now, what do you have any insight into Park's situation? Is it physical? Is it mental? Is it perhaps a fractured relationship with head coach Matt Campbell after the Texas game? What's his status? What's going on here?
Well, I don't have anything that I can say as a fact in terms of inside information. I don't think it's the last thing you mentioned, Mark, which is some fractured relationship with Campbell. I think we all saw them snipping at each other a little bit on the sideline of that Texas game, but I guess I didn't sense that was anything out of the ordinary that could happen anytime. and I didn't feel it was a red flag or a sign of something else. Like I said, I because it's a personal health issue, I hate to speculate or even hate to say, some things that I've heard. But just my sense would be that it's something that Jacob needs a little time to work through. And I think that the feeling within the program is that he does come back. It's just a question of when.
What about the Kyle Kemp story? Tell us about him, where he came from, how he got to where he is now.
Yeah, Kemp is an amazing story. You know, he's a guy that's originally from Matt Campbell's hometown, Massillon, Ohio, just a storied high school football program there. Went to Oregon State, didn't win an opportunity to be a starter there. Went to a junior college, didn't really play a whole lot there, and just came to Iowa State as a walk-on after Matt Campbell got the job, just because he wanted one more chance to go somewhere and maybe pay his dues, certainly pay his own tuition, and maybe someday he gets an opportunity. So speaking for myself, I was so pleasantly surprised with how well he performed in that game. I mean, he completed 18 out of 24 passes, and the six that he missed weren't too far off, and none of them were situations where he put the ball in harm's way. There were no near interceptions or anything of the like for Oklahoma. So, that's one thing that Jacob Park still needs to work on. That's a weakness in his game, is that he tends to uncork some wild throws a couple times a game that either get picked off or should get picked off. And Kyle Kemp just did an amazing job taking care of the football. Reminded me a little bit of Alex Smith for the Kansas City Chiefs, that's on such a roll right now. And really the hallmark of Alex Smith's career has been, don't throw interceptions, don't put the ball in danger, and live to play another down. So Kyle Kemp, what an amazing story. Not only to just go down there and not completely fold under the pressure like I would have, and a lot of people would have, but to just be so cool and ended up just having a fantastic game.
Well, Matt Campbell and the offensive staff should be applauded as well, because I thought on very little time, unless they had an inkling something was going to happen like this, I thought they came up with a terrific game plan. And like you said, it was very Alex Smith to a certain extent anyway. A lot of short passes, a lot of high percentage passes. But when he needed one, like the touchdown at the end of the game, threw it up in the air that where he knew only Alan Lazard could get it, and just made some terrific throws, and the receivers made some good catches too.
Yeah, and Coach Campbell alluded to the fact that he was pretty sure pretty early in the week last week that Park wasn't going to be available, and so they did have some time to get this plan put together. Now, I guess to my eye, I didn't feel like Iowa State did a lot differently. I didn't feel like they reinvented their offense with Kemp in there, because I think similar style quarterback to Park. Maybe Park is a little more fleet of foot. Maybe he'll do a little bit more with his feet, but both of them are what I would call pro-style quarterbacks. They're looking to throw the ball first. Kemp was very accurate, certainly. Quick release. Boy, he got the ball where it needed to be in a hurry, especially on those screen passes that ended up being big plays. He threw the ball deep fairly well. He had the long pass right at the end of the first half that ended up setting up a field goal. Had it not been just a smidge underthrown, that might have been a touchdown, because Hakeem Butler certainly had a couple steps on his guy. So, and everybody saw the game winner that he threw to Lazard. Saw the coverage, knew that it was one-on-one, and bet on his guy to go up there and get the ball, and he did. So maybe the coaches in grading that film had a few things to mark Kyle Kemp down for, but certainly from a layman's perspective, he was about as good as you can be, especially given the circumstances.
Maybe lost in this, Paul, and I'm sure it's not lost on you, was the Iowa State defense gave up 7 points in the second half.
Well, yeah, they didn't stop Oklahoma at all in the first half. Well, I take that back. There was one possession right there at the end of the half where Oklahoma didn't score, but they moved the ball pretty well in the first half and put up 24 points. But, yeah, exactly, like you said, 7 points in the second half. Now, the Sooners gave Iowa State that little crack, that little chink in the armor that allowed Iowa State to kind of bust it open and get the upset. They fumbled the ball going in at the Cyclone, 5-yard line? And they also missed a field goal. So there's 10 potential points, really, that Oklahoma didn't put up on the board, and that was the opportunity that Iowa State needed and took advantage of. The game plan really going in, from everything the coaches have told us since then, was make Oklahoma earn it, make them put together however many plays it takes to drive down the field and score. Don't give up big plays. That means tackle well when it's in front of you, and certainly don't let anything get behind you or go over your head. And the defense was able to execute that plan to perfection. Oklahoma ended up with over 500 yards of total offense, but you still have to consider it a successful day on defense when you look at how great Oklahoma is offensively and the fact that Iowa State just did not give up the big plays, and that's what really allowed them to stay in it.
Paul Clark, CycloneReport.com, joining us here in the Gym Class on KGYM, 1600 AM here today. And Paul, the other thing that came out of that game is America was introduced to Joel Lanning, I think, on a big, big stage. Well, we knew about the statistics, one of the leading tacklers in the country, certainly. But then you put that together with coming in, playing some quarterback at key times in the win against Oklahoma. But, you know, and Iowa State marketed him well. They had him at the pictures of him, you know, mock flying the plane on the way home, things like that. Another example of Matt Campbell knowing what he's doing in there. But America knows who Joel Lanning is now.
Yeah, and really Saturday's storyline was what we had been teased with pretty much all through the offseason and right in through preseason camp through the month of August, and that was that Joel Lanning was going to play some quarterback. Yes, the spring experiment worked. He was very good at linebacker during the spring. He is a full-time linebacker, but he's going to spend some time with the offense in the preseason, and we think he did. We're going to see him on both sides of the ball. So we were sort of teased with that going into the season, and it hadn't really shown itself in the first four games except for just a couple snaps. And maybe a big part of that was the offense had been working pretty well as it was. Coach Campbell has said he really didn't think it was fair to Lanning to put that on his plate, as well as all of his responsibilities as a linebacker. But with the Jacob Park situation last week, they decided it was time, it was worth it to ask Joel Lanning to do even more. And what a fantastic showcase. And the fact that he was able to come up with that fumble recovery, he was able to come up with that critical sack on Baker Mayfield in the fourth quarter, it just all came together and really made for an outstanding storyline.
I thought it was pretty cool that Paul Rhodes, now at Auburn, is weighed in after that game.
Yeah, it looked to me like, as a coordinator, I guess, at Arkansas, he must have a press conference, because he was kind of in a press conference setting there, and somebody asked him about it, that Iowa State had beaten Oklahoma, and you know, what his thoughts were. And hey, look, if you look out on the field when Iowa State's playing, there are a whole lot of Rhodes upperclassmen out there running around.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of juniors and seniors on this team that were Paul Rhodes recruits originally. He certainly did not leave the cupboard bare. We all saw what happened over the last couple of years with Coach Rhodes, and maybe the recruiting did dip a little bit. It did. It did dip a little bit overall, and they lost some close games and kind of lost their mojo. But that doesn't mean there wasn't any talent when Matt Campbell took over. And there are a whole lot of Rhodes' guys playing on Saturdays now and contributing in huge ways. And it doesn't surprise me at all that as best he can, he keeps track of the Cyclones and was obviously thrilled, you know, to see the guys that he had as a coach have some success down at Oklahoma.
Well, the last thing, and you mentioned it, cannot have a letdown for Saturday, because and we talked with Newell from down at the Kansas City Star yesterday, and he said, you know, Kansas is playing that Iowa State card. Why not us? We're a 4-touchdown, 3-touchdown underdog going on the road. Why can't it be us this week? And all the momentum Iowa State has, they can't afford to lose it in a game on Saturday at home against KU.
Yeah, I saw that Kansas is going to try to use Iowa State's upset win against Iowa State. I didn't think that was really nice thing to do, but no, I get what they're saying, and yeah, why not us? I look at Iowa State's schedule now, and I the rest of the way, and I see seven games they could win, and I see seven games they could lose. It's probably going to end up being a mix of both, and we'll see how it shakes out in the end. But Kansas is pretty good offensively. Kansas has made some noise on offense this year. They have the potential to keep up with you in a track meet if it really turns into kind of a wild one. Iowa State could be in trouble. I think if Iowa State's defense is solid, then the Cyclones are going to have more than enough on the offensive side because Kansas hasn't been very good defensively. So certainly Iowa State has a talent advantage this week, and you think they should win, 20-point favorites or whatever, but they're certainly not so good they can just show up and chalk it up as a victory.
Hey, before we let you go, I got to get a basketball question in, and picked up my Street and Smiths earlier on this week, turned to the Big 12, and my gosh, Iowa State picked ninth in the preseason.
Yeah.
If that's not motivation for Steve Prohm's team, I don't know what is.
I think Athlon's, if I remember right, has them 10th.
Wow.
I know one of the other major preseason magazines put them dead last. So, yeah, that ought to be motivating. I certainly think that should get the attention of Coach Prohm and his players. You know, I think they'll be better than that. I think it's realistic to expect a little bit of a step backwards this year, but got some awfully good freshmen coming in, and they went the transfer route again, hit the transfer market, and picked up a couple guys. So I do think they'll be better than that, but I think it's fair to look for Iowa State to maybe take a step back this year and maybe kind of be in the middle of the pack in that Big 12.
All right, sounds good. Keep up the great work, Paul, and have fun. It's going to be a lot warmer on Saturday than today, but it might be raining.
Yes. Well, we'll take one or the other, either dry or warm.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Paul Clark, CycloneReport.com, joining us here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We will take a break, 3:39, come back. Let's do Bowling Night in America. Talk about that, and then we'll bring in Chris Liss. How's that?
Sounds good.
All right. This is the Gym Class, 1600 AM, KGYM.
We're changing things up at Chili's. Even our song is changing.
Our old song was baby back, baby back, baby back. It was about ribs because that was our thing.
Everything's getting an update.
Our new menu is totally different. We made your favorite things a lot bigger.
We made our new burger half a pound. That's much bigger.
And the ribs are 30% bigger. The fajitas are way bigger too.
48% actually. But that's like impossible to sing.
I don't know. Maybe just let me try it. The fajitas have 48% more fajitas.
Mm-hmm. Oh baby, Chili's is back.
Baby back, baby back.
In baseball, a smooth swing is the best way to get a hit. And in bourbon, a smooth taste is the best way to win over fans. Larceny Wheated Bourbon does just that. It's made with more wheat for a smoother taste. Our master distillers hand-select only the finest barrels for a true small batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
I love going to football games. I'm Randy Moss, but I hate tracking down tickets.
That's why your man Charles Woodson has got you covered.
Nobody can cover me, Charles.
I meant I can get us tickets easily with Vivid Seats. Millions of tickets, all guaranteed.
Guaranteed, like Randy Moss finding the end zone.
If the end zone is where you want to sit, those are the tickets we'll get. Now, how do you want to pay me?
Charles, you already know. Straight cash, homie. Find your seats at Vivid Seats.
See guarantee terms at Vivid Seats.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Eastern Iowa Sports is their domain. Back to the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Back at 3:42, no score in Wrigley as the Cubs and the Nats are going to the bottom of the second inning. We're going to talk to Chris Liss of RotoWire.com in just a couple of minutes. But there's this little thing called Bowling Night in America here tonight, Mark, and our preview is brought to you by Mays City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids. I believe temporary stands are being put up right now. You've got Ollie Frazier, Yankees, Red Sox, Army, Navy. I think a lot of these pale in comparison to what is lining up for tonight. Fill the listeners
in. Well, there's a team called Durline Scale. They're kind of like the Indians, Cleveland Indians of the mature Evergreen League. And I think Rusty Nails, we're more like the Twins, right? You know, can we?
I'm not real young.
Can we get to that? Can we get to that next level? I guess we'll find out tonight. Dierlein Scale just wiping everybody this year, 18-2 on the year. We've actually done fairly well at 14-6. We're alone in second place, three games clear of third place. And I guess we'll find out tonight on lanes 29 and 30.
Toward the end of the alley there, of the building.
Whether we can hang with the Kingpins or not.
18-2. Man alive.
And they're led by Roger Taylor. Already has a 300 and a 299. I mean, he's averaging 236 for crying out loud.
It's good.
It is very good.
That's good. That's tops in the league, I believe.
If I knew how to get in his head, I would. He's too good.
We're not going to do that.
It'll be fun.
And if you want to have some fun, head out to May City Bowl as well. They've got a lot of great specials, Globe Bowling going on as well. Just give them a call out there.
Yep, 3620136, or visit the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
We're both on tonight, too.
We are indeed.
I hope we're on and on. Tonight. I've had 2 weeks to try to get things together.
To gather yourself. Jake Arrieta,
yes,
right?
Yes, to gather my momentum here, as the great Nick Tortelli would say, and try to get things back online. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Your phone calls and your texts for Chris Liss of RotoWire.com, and his segment brought to you by I'm On Communications. That's coming up next here on KGYM.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays, you've got to get rolling now. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and holiday creep. That means not letting the holidays creep up on you. Let's just call buying and selling a home by the time the snow flies your early holiday gift to yourself. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Ho, ho, ho.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
The High School Football Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Holmes Murphy, Fighting Insurance Solutions. Holmes Murphy, thinking ahead. Visit HOLMESMurphy.com.
There's a season for everything. And right now, it's save up to 30% on appliances season at the Home Depot with special buys on innovative appliances that do more, like a Maytag top freezer refrigerator with extra deep door bins to free up shelf space. It's just $498. You save $150. Savings are in season with up to 30% off appliances at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4, the gym class with UNASH and Dukes. KGYM.
Cubs just hit a fly ball that would have been out on a regular day, but was caught on the warning track today with the wind blowing in at about 20 to 25. No score. That one in the bottom of the second inning. Joe Maddon just went all over Laz Diaz. No ejection. 3:46 here on the program. 319-366-1600. If you'd like to weigh in, Chris Liss of RotoWire.com set to join us right now. And if you have a question for Chris, let us know via the phone lines or the text line. The Hertina Stocker text line at 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you out there and get those questions ready to go. And Chris's segment brought to you by I'm On Communications, as always. Chris, good afternoon. How you doing? Whoop. Let's try this. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, add Odell Beckham Jr. to my list of walking wounded. That's David Johnson and Odell Beckham I've lost now.
I wouldn't call them walking wounded. I think walking is a misnomer.
That's true. They aren't going to play again. Maybe David Johnson at the end of the year, but unfortunately for the league, lost J.J. Watt and Odell Beckham on Sunday. So, aside from a fantasy standpoint, that's just too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad. I'm a Giants fan. I mean, actually, given, I mean, if it had to happen, it's better when they're 0-5, right? Because then we're going to make the playoffs this year anyway. Hopefully, it gets McAdoo fired. Hopefully, they put Eli out to pasture and they just start the rebuilding process, which is long overdue.
The text flying in for you as usual, Chris. 6974. Deshaun Watson against Cleveland or Cam tomorrow night?
Sorry, I didn't catch that last one. Deshaun Watson against Cleveland or who?
Cam Newton.
Wow. I like both quite a bit. I'm going to say Cam. I think that's going to be the less popular call. I think most of the people in my industry would prefer Watson. But I just think Cam looks great his last two outings, and the Eagles are very vulnerable in the secondary.
67-58, Carson Wentz or Big Ben?
I'm going Wentz, even though the Panthers have a tough D, because Ben has been very shaky on the road.
82-58, who do you value more between Mark Ingram and Doug Martin for the rest of the year? And what do you think about Mike Williams of the Chargers?
I'm going to say Ingram narrowly just because I trust the offense more, but Doug Martin looked very good on Thursday night, very close. I think it's 50-50. And, you know, Mike Williams, he's a top 10 overall pick, big guy, a lot of talent, but I just don't see where the targets come from. I mean, Keenan Allen's there, Terrell Williams is there, Hunter Henry's there. They're still throwing the ball to Gates' carcass. So I have a hard time seeing Mike Williams get enough targets.
Williams was part of somebody else's text, Chris. Actually, the second part of the previous one was, what about between Funchess and Fuller?
I think I'm going to go Funchess, but it's close. Both are in the same boat. Two guys having emerging this year.
79-66, he lost Odell Beckham as well. He's got Thomas, Hogan, and Funchess in a non-PPR, no flex league, trying to find another wide receiver. What do you think about Mike Williams of the Chargers? What?
He just answered.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
I don't think I'll get enough targets. I think it's too crowded there.
What else we got here, Mark? 79-66 again. Do you think AP has any upside in Arizona now that he's going there?
I think there's some upside, but I think the chance of it actually happening is slim. It's a very bad run-blocking offensive line. Adrian Peterson is as old as Scott Unash. I just don't think that he's got the wiggle left, you know what I mean, to really succeed behind the bat line. There's a possibility it works. He'll get a chance, but I'd be surprised.
John at 5692, do you think Christian McCaffrey is who he is after 5 weeks, or do you think there are brighter days ahead?
That's a good question. I think probably he is who he is. Remember when Reggie Bush came into the league and everyone was so excited because he was such a dynamic college player? And he was a good pro when he was healthy, right? I mean, he caught 70-plus passes 1 year. He was a good running back 1 year for the Dolphins. I kind of feel like that's how Christian McCaffrey is going to be. I could be wrong, but that would be my bet at this point.
90-48, Deshaun Jackson or Terrell Pryor?
If it's for this week, I'm going to say, well, they both have good matchups, though. I'm going to say Deshaun Jackson for this week.
56-92, another Deshaun Watson question. He or Matt Ryan?
I think Matt Ryan is safer. Deshaun Watson has more upside. So it depends how you want to play it. I'm going to say Watson, though.
319-366-1600. That is the text line. That's our phone line as well. And talking with Chris Liss of rotowire.com. I probably put the hex on my Chiefs because I picked up Alex Smith for the game this weekend.
the Steelers have a very good pass defense so far this year, so that's one thing. Alex Smith is the number one overall quarterback, though, so far, I think, in scoring. It's been crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't know about Kelsey's concussion. I think that's a big concern. If Kelsey's okay, then that would be a big, big difference. If he's not, I don't like Alex Smith.
You know, you talked about the Giants being in disarray, and looks like the Steelers are very much in that category as well with Big Ben and Tomlin and Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell all weighing in on different topics, and they just can't keep this thing inside, can they?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Roethlisberger almost retired at the end of last year. And, you don't retire lightly if you're a Pro Bowl, Hall of Fame level player. It's a big deal. and he gets drawn back. And we don't know these guys' personal financial situations. They make a lot of money, but who knows what he owes, who he owes money to, or how many hangers-on or family members he has. You know, it's very hard to turn down the $15 or $18 million or whatever they're getting paid if you need the money. And maybe he doesn't have it. You know, he said after the game they were interviewing him, he said, you know, maybe I don't have it anymore. He certainly hasn't been good on the road for 3 years. And then I thought a home game, he'd kind of, you know, get it fixed. And he was even worse. So the Chiefs, Arrowhead is not a place to get well. So you should be concerned.
Start two in a standard league. Demaryius Thomas, Amir Abdullah, Kelvin Benjamin, and Larry Fitzgerald needs two of those.
I'm going to say Benjamin, if he's healthy, I think he's fine. And Demaryius Thomas against the Giants, who just lost. Got Dominic Rogers from Marty suspended. So Ben McAdoo doing a bang-up job yet again.
not your biggest he's not – well, anyway. Give me a running back and a wide receiver that somebody can pick up that would be helpful right now. What do you think?
Well, I mean, Jerick McKinnon, if you didn't get him already, is must-own material. I mean, I got him last week, and I should have started him, and it cost me. But he looked very good, and now they finally have a credible offensive line. If you want to go a little deeper, you know, maybe Marlon Mack on the Colts. He was making plays. And then receiver, you know, Marquise Goodwin got 11 targets, and they will throw deep. Kyle Shanahan will take a shot. So if you're desperate for a receiver, I think you'd do worse than Marquise Goodwin. If you're really desperate, Roger Lewis is now now the number one receiver on the Giants. And Evan Engram, tight end, is worth using in a flex because he should get a lot of targets.
82-58, is Eli worth hanging on to as a backup? Brissett, Hoyer, and Keenum are available.
Just don't get a backup. You can always pick up a guy if you need one later. Cut Eli.
Yeah, Eli is – there's nobody to catch the ball right now.
I mean, Eli, if Beckham never came into the league, I did a little thing in an article on his numbers with and without Beckham the last 5-6 years, and it's basically like Matt Cassel. You know, he's basically – what Matt Hasselbeck would be if he stayed in the league, something like that.
Also in that category of no receivers, Chris, Mitch Trubisky got a start for my Bears Monday night, and it's a small sample size, but this guy doesn't have anybody to throw to either. I wondered what you saw in him.
I liked him. I thought he looked really poised. I thought he made good throws. He was mobile. He didn't seem nervous for a guy who's making his debut on national TV, Monday Night Football. He looked good. I mean, his numbers were awful, and that even included a lucky tip pass that was a touchdown. But he passed the eye test for me. He's working with the worst group in the league, in my opinion, worse than the Giants, worse than the Bills. This is absolute, and worse than the Browns. This is rock bottom when it comes to receivers. But, he just seemed like he looked like a quarterback to me, you know, and he looked better than Mike Glennon. That much.
Well, Chris, appreciate it as always. Thanks for the insight. I'm sorry about your Giants, and I've been there before, man.
Misery loves company, Scott, okay?
I know what you're going through at this point, but you've got all the great information at rotowire.com, you and the staff, so let our listening audience know about that.
Yeah, rotowire.com/trial. It is a free 10-day trial. You do not need a credit card. For all your start sit questions, do I start running back X or running back Y? Well, that is answered on the site. We rank every single guy just for that week's matchup. Again, you can check it out for free without a credit card, rotowire.com/trial.
All right, Chris. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We will talk next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet. Chris Liss, check out his stuff at rotowire.com. 3:57 here on the program. They're going to the third. Cubs had first and third with two outs and did not score. So it is 0-0 headed to the top of the third inning, that at Wrigley Field. That's on 107.5 and 106.3 FM going on right now. And, of course, our local programming will continue on 1600 AM through the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Mm-hmm. And then everything shifts over to baseball coming up tonight. You got to think the Cub-Nat game would be over, but maybe not. If it's not, we'll go to the entirety of that, and then we'll head off to Cleveland for the Indians and the Yankees.
Is Bowling Night in America on Rob FM then, or what?
That's on the Ocho.
Okay.
It is on the Ocho. And, yeah, tune in. If you can't make it there in person for this Titanic affair tonight, you'll want to be, you know, nearby. We'll talk about it coming up tomorrow.
Results tomorrow, yeah.
Also talk co-football coming up tomorrow as well. We will do that with brand new coach. Used to be Steve Staker. Now it is Staker the Younger. that'll be coming up tomorrow on the gym class. And then also the pick six coming your way tomorrow as well. As a lot of Big Ten games to take a look at. The slate, Iowa is off, but many games to pick this week, including Iowa State and Kansas, among others.
Enjoy the games, folks. We'll see you on 29 and 30 tonight.
Yeah. Anticipating a big crowd. All right. Among the guests for the guys coming up, I should say they will have audio from Kirk Ferentz or the news conference today, which included Phil Parker and Brian Ferentz. So that'll be coming up next on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3. Have a great night, everybody. You've been listening to the Gym Class on KGYM.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, I got the brush off again. I don't get it. Is there something wrong with the way I wave? Elbow wrist. Why won't that little basset hound acknowledge me? I'm friendly. I give everyone peace of mind when I protect their homes through Progressive. He should be jumping for joy when I walk by.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
Maybe it's me. No, it's him.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
At Advance Auto Parts, we offer you the quality parts you want and knowledge you need. And we're always looking for ways to help you save. Right now, get 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage or conventional motor oil for just $19.99. Plus, find great prices on Advance's full line of oil filters. Go to Advance or participating CarQuest Auto Parts stores to take advantage of this great offer while it lasts. Advance Auto Parts. Where oil is priced like it should be.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
How will the recent massive data breach affect you? Is your personal information at risk? If you are a Discover credit card member, there's an important action you can take to help protect yourself right now. Go online and sign up for Discover's free Social Security alerts. Once activated, we will alert you if your Social Security number is found on any one of thousands of risky websites. Learn more and sign up for free alerts at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
This is Hal's Yard as Halloween approaches, and summer's harsh heat has turned his lawn into a virtual cemetery. But Hal knows fall is the best time to feed his lawn and repair those scary thin brown patches. So he reaches for Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Lawn Food. It feeds and replenishes nutrients. Roots grow deeper and stronger. So next spring, Hal's grass grows thicker and greener. Guaranteed. This is a Scott's Yard. Pick up a bag of Scott's Winter Guard today.
At Firestone Complete Auto Care, we've been putting tires on cars since 1926. And we know when the road gets rough, you need a set of tires that can get tough. Right now at Firestone Complete Auto Care, get $60 on a Firestone Visa prepaid card by mail when you purchase a set of 4 eligible Firestone tires. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid October 12th through November 12th. Claim form required. Prepaid card.